All right. Hey, real quick, is Steve Gray on?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, Steve, kick us off because I know you've got a couple deals. So let's get these on the table. I want to hear about them.
Yeah, you bet. So where do you want me to start? Because
the one that's
obviously
under contract.
Yes, I just got that. Yeah, I just got that contract back today. She signed it. So I don't know. How do you know? You guys normally talk about it. What do you want me to tell you? What's the process here?
Yeah. So first of all, congrats. Nice job.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're always going to go to the two anchors. So is this a flip? Is it a buy and hold deal, or can it be both? What do you think?
So this goes back to kind of the email I was sending you, and I think part of it's just getting familiar with the different areas and doing enough deals to know. I'm gonna lean on the side and say it's buy and hold. This ties into two of the things that I'm still having a challenge with. I've been using Zillow for comps and.
Yep.
What are you guys using for? What do you recommend for rents? Is it the Rent-O-Meter or the Zillow? What's like the go-to tool at this point?
Yeah, I typically go to Zillow. If you have, here's the thing: Zillow's all over the board.
Yeah,
it'll throw you a massive range. So they're probably never wrong because it's got. I mean, it'll be like $400 to $950, $400 to $950. So
right.
I usually go to Zillow. If you have a Rent-O-Meter account, it's fantastic.
Yeah,
I think it's ballpark.
Okay, I think my point is that I'm happy to spend it for Rent-O-Meter. I just hadn't because it hadn't. So if you're like, hey, that's what you need to do, I'll do it. I've been using Zillow. So here's the thing: I would definitely say a rentable area of town. They're not a lot like the house is fixed up.
Okay.
The ones that I could find, like what I'm going to call super fixed and nice, are probably about 60 to 65K would be my guess.
Okay.
The tax records for the house, I know that doesn't mean a whole lot, but it kind of gives me some point of reference, says it's worth about 40, 43.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I've got it under contract for 16. So I figured... The lady said, so my bird dog, who's actually been really good, she's doing a lot of the calls as well. She's really hungry to learn
yep.
this stuff. So she went out and took a look at it because the owner said there was some damage because a tree fell. Well, bird dog Andrea said it had a small hole in the back of the house, nothing major.
Okay.
So I figured the estimates at like what do you guys call it?
Rehab
estimator and
yep.
do what now?
The rehab estimate. Did you run it through FreedomSoft?
Yes, the rehab estimate through
okay.
FreedomSoft. I basically said I figured it out. Let me pull it up here real quick. I figured it up as a beater.
Yep.
Getting it to livable condition.
How big is the house? How many beds?
1,200
square feet.
1,200 square feet. Three and one and a half.
Okay.
Three
nice.
One and a half. Yep.
Yeah. Solid. Okay.
So my rehab was between, 17 on the low side, which I was saying it was livable now, bringing it up to average, or a full rehab on a beater was like 23. So I'm thinking it's a buy and hold. And
yep. Call it 20. You have it at 17.
16.
Let's call it 20 grand fix up, 16. And what does it rent for?
I'm using somewhere between, Zillow says – let me pull what Zillow said again. Zillow was saying 750, but
okay.
Or 780. I was thinking conservative, like 600 a month. So,
well, so here's the thing. I don't mind with being conservative, but if you've got if you pull the so when you put it into Zillow, first of all, have Zillow on for rent instead of buy, and it'll
yep.
show you rental comps. If you're in the ballpark, we don't need to drop $150 bucks.
Right, I understand. But the challenge is that there are no ones for rent in the area on Zillow. When I look at the recently sold, when I pull it up in Zillow, that's where it's giving me its estimate. And let me pull it back up. I made some other notes from Rent-O-Meter and Zillow. And I was saying rents were like $725 on the original estimate. So I'm with you. I don't want to shoot myself.
So let's run.
Too conservative.
Let's run a couple.
Ahead.
Let's run a couple scenarios here. We have rent 6 to 750. What do you want to sell it for? You have it at 16.
Yeah, I was gonna. Part of I was gonna try to get 10 out of it. I don't know if that's too much. I mean, the numbers that I'm running.
Look.
If we did it at 16 and 10 feet plus 23, that puts it at like 49, right?
26 and then 20,000. You have it at 16 plus 10 is 26 plus 20 is 46. Let's call it 48 with some closing costs, a little bit of carrying costs, whatever. So 48 grand. So let's say I'm your buyer. You're going to, you know, you call me up. Hey, Mike, I'll sell you this thing at 26 grand. It needs 20. It rents at 600 a month. You want it? Yes or no? So here's where I'm going to go. 600 a month. That's our anchor gross rent.
Yep.
I'm 70% is 420 net monthly times 12. $5,040 net annual divided by 48,000. 10.5 cap.
Yep.
Not terrible. Now, you need a 10 cap buyer. Here's what I'll tell you. This buyer's out there. If you're going to sell at a 10 cap, our experience says you're more likely to get a buyer if the property's already renovated and ready to go.
Okay.
Right? Now, this thing requires some work. So at 600 a month, so what I'm going to do now is we were at 420 times 12, 5,040. So with work included, you're more likely to – now, this is the thing. This is why you ask buyers. What are you looking for? What do you do?
Yep.
Do you fix them up? Do you want them fixed up, right? This is why we go through that whole thing. Let's say you had a 12-cap buyer at this at these same rents at 600 a month. So our 5,040s are net annual divided by 0.12 or 12%. They could pay 42,000 all in.
Yep.
Minus 20,000 in repairs.
Leaves you 22 grand.
So and a couple grand in closing costs. So you're really only four, maybe five grand to a 12 cap buyer who has to do the work. Now, what if rents are 7.25?
Right.
So 725 times 70% is 507.50 times 12 is 6,090 divided by the 48,000.
Yep.
Now we're at 12.7. Now we're at 13 cap. You making 10. So here's how I handle it. You get something that's down to the wire like this. I always know a property manager or two in town, and I like to call them up. Real estate agents who work with rentals can know this data as well. But I like to call up somebody that I have a relationship, and I say, hey, 123 Main Street in your neck of the woods, I'm getting rents from 6 to 7.50. What do you think? Where do you think this thing rents? And kind of dial that in. Now, I don't think, you know, based on the numbers, I think this is a decent little deal. And here's the thing. You have 10 in it right now. If somebody balks, you've got a little room to play in there and still cash a nice little check for doing, you know, I mean, wholesaling is easy. It's easy money when you're putting together. So
yeah. So I think part of
I don't mind this deal.
Okay. Well, that's good.
What's the neighborhood profile? Is it B neighborhood, C neighborhood? I'm assuming it's not war zone, but what do you think?
No, it's not war zone. I'm going to say it's probably C plus to B minus. The houses are clean, but they're not beautiful. And it's not trashed, worn out, where people's boats are in their front yard and, you know, cars on the blocks. But it's certainly not an A neighborhood.
I think you have it right. I mean, a 13 cap, just under a 13 cap in a B minus C plus neighborhood. This is why we meet buyers, but that's all day long. I mean, that's a strong little return. I would ask a property manager the same thing. Hey, is this a B minus or a C plus? You know, grade this neighborhood for me.
Yeah.
What do you think this is? And the better that grade gets, the lower the acceptable cap rate. Right?
Right, for sure.
And here's the thing about this. You think comps in the neighborhood are 50 to 60. So now when you're telling the story, hey, Steve, I've got a deal for you. Here we go. It's a 3 1.5, 1,200 square feet, B minus, maybe, C plus, maybe B minus neighborhood, primarily rentals, but that, you know, the houses aren't pristine like an A neighborhood would be, but they're not trashed either. So this is a good little neighborhood to own a rental in. I've got it for sale, 26,000 is the buy price. It's going to need about 20 grand in work. And at the end of the day, you know, using 70% of gross rents, you're coming out of this thing at just under a 13 cap.
Right.
And you, right, and you tell them a little story on it.
Right. I follow you. I understand the math. All that makes sense. I
yep.
think that now there are some houses in the neighborhood that clearly need some work. So I think, though, but the preponderance of them are, or the majority of them are decent, I would say. They're not beautiful, but they're decent. So.
Okay. Yep.
Well,
that sounds like a good little neighborhood. And that's what a rental right. neighborhood looks like. That's what a rental neighborhood looks like. So,
okay. Well,
yep,
I will start
for the course.
Andrea's calling buyers. I can reach out to some property managers and get their feedback on it as well, and I guess we'll have to see where it goes. So just so I understand procedurally, you know, we've got the contract. We've got the portion in there. I put 20 business days to get an inspection. So if it works to the point to where it's just not going to work out and I've completely misgauged it, you know what happens at that point? You just say, hey, the inspection showed that we're going to need way more work than we thought, so we're not going to be able to move forward, and that's just how you get out of the deal.
Yeah, that's what the inspection period is there for. But, yes, but when you – and, again, this goes back to disclosure. So did you disclose on buyer or did you disclose I have buyers, and let me see if I can get this thing moved for you. And your intent is to assign the deal.
Yes. Well, I use the contract that you guys have where it says that the intent of the deal is to assign the contract. So that was clear
yep.
in the agreement. And I'll have to
yep.
check with Andrea. I don't think she, you know, I've been telling her that we have a group of buyers that we market the houses to. So we've been using the scripts you guys have. So that's
just
the short answer.
Be in agreement, operate in agreement with what you disclose. But this is a deal.
Of course.
This is a deal that I would say, somebody's walking in snow or doing something really loud. Hit *6 for us quick.
Oops. Sorry
Please.
About that.
No worries. I would say in a decent little neighborhood, hustle up the buyers and get this thing out there because I feel like these numbers are in play for sure. This is a decent little return.
Okay.
So, yep.
so again, I get the number. I understand how to work the numbers. I think for me, it's more of a question of just seeing enough deals to know, where it's at. So I've got another one. I'm trying to pull her up. I don't remember where she was at.
Here's what I'll tell you is you have got – how many buyers have you spoken with and gone through the script and asked them what their criteria is?
Yeah, I'll have to ask Andrea how many she's got so far. We've got about – 10 or 12 in the system right now that she's actually talked with.
So here's the key, Steve, is you have to know, it's not just talk with, it's I know this buyer will buy a 12 cap C-plus neighborhood.
Right, I'm with
and
you.
They can handle the construction. And what will happen is when you know buyers and have notes, it completely helps your acquisitions because then you're talking offers and you're talking through this deal. And the more you know your buyers, you're gonna start thinking, oh yeah, this fits for Joe, Sally, and Ben.
Right, understood.
This is right up
I'm
their
with
alley,
you.
Right?
Yep. I'm with you.
And yep, and that data drives acquisitions, and it makes acquisitions so much easier because you're not guessing. Is somebody gonna want this? I know what they want. Let's bring them a deal that they just told me 3 days ago that they buy.
Understood.
Yep.
Okay.
So make sure. What is Andrea's DISC test profile? Have you given her a personality test?
I have. We don't use DISC. We use Culture Index, which is similar. But she's. I'm trying to let me put it through here to.
I want to make sure she can sell.
Right. Yeah. So she's certainly highly assertive. She's probably not as. Socially, what you would call an influencer. She's not as empathetic as friendly, but she certainly's got the go-to to get it done.
On this little deal, I want you to help her put together the story because you're going to have to sell it. As you get repeat buyers, you'll do less and less work to move deals. But up front, you're absolutely going to have to sell it. And so talk her through the story. Here's the story you're going to tell, and we've got to tell it to 10 people a day. We have to until this thing is gone. I mean, you got a live one. And yes, so, inspection period let us out, but we want to close, bottom line.
I understand.
Obviously.
Yeah, I understand.
Yep.
So would you suggest at this point just focusing on getting this one done and get it under our belt, or trying to get some other ones under contract at this point?
Yeah, I hate to stall one thing so we can do another. So this is where it would be, maybe it's she's still drumming up leads and you get on the phone with buyers.
Sure.
If she's full-time, you know, maybe she can talk to 10 buyers a day. But this is almost an until. Let's talk to buyers until we get this thing moved, right?
Understood. Okay.
I mean, this is a live one. So, yeah, this is where not one person's doing everything, so you don't shut off the presses.
Right, right.
So, yep.
Okay.
How many other offers do you have out there?
I don't have any other offers out. I've got several other houses that we could make offers on.
Yep.
You know, I sent those into your email the other day, which is going back to me just needing a bit of a framework to know where we need to be. So
here's how I want you to handle those. The deals are sitting there waiting for an offer. I want you to talk to five buyers. You've got to find five people who have money to spend right now.
Yep.
Ask them, go through the script and get specifics on what they want, and it will become clear as day what you need to go offer on those other properties.
Yeah, understood. Some of them are just nicer, so they'd be, you know, A-minus, B-plus neighborhoods where they're pride of ownership and somebody, I may want to sell, but I don't know that I really want to, so I don't think they're as – anyway, I think I've got the big picture. I just need to go do a little bit of work.
Okay. Good stuff, man. Love it. Live one. Go time. And I'll tell you what, you guys, this, I mean, you all know, some of you have experienced it, some of you are yet to, but when momentum hits, and it's hit with our acquisitions team, with mine personally here. So the energy behind it is really, really fun. Just like any business, when it starts clicking and the team starts to gel a little bit and, it's fun. And Steve, this is why I'm telling you, if Andrea's keep her focused on acquisitions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in our business, we have two guys on acquisitions. I help out there, but I'm running the disposition side, so they never turn it off. And it took us a while to get the team to gel, to, you know, train the new guy. We had, you know, life happened. So my lead guy, Chris, he came on, and then just life happened. And so we were never able to build momentum, and it finally clicked last Monday. So we tied up a deal a day last week, Monday through Friday. We tied up five today with one seller, and all this has happened. So we have 10 houses under contract, and it's all happened in 7 days.
Wow.
And what happened was we just kept pushing on it and pushing on it and pushing on it and pushing on it. There was a little frustration trying to figure it out, but then all of a sudden momentum hits and you kind of push through that wall. And so Andrea's fresh off a conversation, a verbal offer, a contract. I want you to keep that rolling, because when that starts to turn, that's where it starts to get really fun. And so help keep her on acquisitions. It seems to be working. I mean, you've got a deal out of this, so keep her there. You know, keep pushing on it. And, so different people on here want to run at different volumes, but I'm just saying it can happen fast. I'm working the same leads you all are. Bird dog, skip trace, call them and go through a script. Same stuff. So stay on it. I think you run to buyers, keep her on acquisitions, and see if you can turn one into two and then three and then four and then however many you want in the pipeline.
Gotcha.
And,
okay.
And keep your foot on that accelerator. It's about three things, right? We don't get off the three fundamentals: generate leads, make offers, meet buyers.
Yep. Yep.
Those are the three. Everything else we do fits into those three areas. So
just a couple of other quick questions. Would you put an ad up on Craigslist with kind of the specifics, or would you not mess with that?
I like to keep it vague to get the phone call. And you don't have a property for sale. You got to be careful in your wording. You have a contract.
Right.
So contract for sale in this zip code, you know, give some basic specifics on it. I don't ever put address in.
Okay.
And see if it'll drum up some calls. Here's what I can tell you. Outbound calls sell deals.
Right. I'm with you.
Yep.
I get it. Yeah.
Put it out there. Yep.
Okay.
Outbound calls will sell it.
Yeah. The other question was do you go through the skip tracing the same way on the buyers as you do with the, because I've had a little bit more difficulty coming up with the actual, I mean, we can Google the LLCs, but they're not, like, if I wanted to get the name and address of somebody who owns the company, how's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so I've found that not all skip tracers can do both individuals and businesses. So you may need to go back to Upwork and say, I need somebody who can research businesses and corporations online and has experience with it. Tell me your experience level, and you may take those to two different people, because for somebody that knows LexisNexis, they grab a name, they grab a property address, you really copy paste and then grab the phone numbers. I mean, it does all the work for you. Corporations are, as you know, are quite a different animal. So I would find that's my answer. Not all skip tracers can do both well. And so if you need that done well, put an ad in Upwork specifically for that I need somebody that can research LLCs and corporations online and get me contact info.
Understood. Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Groovy. Good stuff, man. Keep your foot on the gas. It starts at 1 and, let it ramp up. It's fun. Anything else, Steve?
No, I'm good. I think I've got enough to work with. I need, like I said, I need to go back and get some work going.
Good stuff. Who else?
I'll jump in if nobody wants to.
Doesn't seem like they do yet, Mike. Fire it up.
Okay.
What's happening?
So I got 2 more offers accepted today.
Nice. Tell us about them.
Going to get the contracts out. The one is another older gentleman, has a few rentals in the area. And we came across one, and we called him on it. He had us give him an offer for the house that he had sitting there. He had a vacant lot next to it.
Okay.
And then the adjoining property, it's a friend of his that they wanted a price on.
Okay.
Then he gave us another 2 properties in another area that he wanted a price on.
Okay.
So we did that, come back that he accepted the offer on the 1 property and the vacant lot next to it.
Okay.
It's a buy and hold area.
You're buying a property and a lot?
Separately.
What are you doing with the
lot? He gave
us
a price. We'll attach it to that so that whoever's buying the property, will just tie it in. It's a...
You're just throwing in a
lot. Strip. Yeah. I mean, just for the fact he wanted to get rid of both of them, and we're paying like $1,500 for the lot.
Is it in a busy area or no?
It's definitely in a rougher part of town.
Okay.
But he wanted them both sold. He wanted them both sold together is basically why.
Yep. So you probably just package them up to solve the problem.
So, yeah.
I've got one like that where the lady said, I'll sell you my house for this, but get rid of this lot for me too.
Yeah, exactly. Same kind of deal.
Here's
why
I asked where it was. Brad and Rob bought one like this early on in Memphis, but it's a corner lot in a busy intersection.
Yeah.
So they threw a billboard. They threw a sign. They paid a sign company that said, we'll buy your problem real estate or whatever they put on it with their big phone number tied to a Freedom South phone number. And so they're going to keep it and just leave their sign there. So,
yeah, this one is 2 houses from a busy street, but
it's not
right
on the corner. Drive by traffic. Yeah, okay.
No. But
what are the numbers on the deal?
It's a buy and hold.
Okay.
We offered him. So I'm just putting the whole thing together as one, but I'm still run the numbers separate because I got to run it through 2 different contracts because it's 2 different pieces of. 2 parcels. But so we're paying him $23,500 for the lot. Or for the house, I'm sorry.
For the house, yep.
It's a square footage. It is a 880 square foot. It's a 2-1.
Okay.
The Zestimate is about 50 in the area.
Okay.
But seems like it's mostly a buy and hold.
What does it rent for, and what condition?
Rents,
how much does it need?
So on a rehab for a rental, I'm saying about $15,000.
Okay. So some work, but not a ton.
Yeah. Rents are about $800, $850.
Yeah, strong little area to get $800 for a little 2-1.
Yeah. So I used $800, $850 was the Zestimate, but I backed it down to $800. So
and what are you trying to sell it for?
Net. So out the door, I'm going to sell it for 33 fives. So I'm adding 10.
Love your verbiage there. I'm not going to, you didn't say I'm going to try and sell it. You said I'm going to sell it. So what's the cap rate to your end buyer?
13.8.
Nice. And what's the neighborhood profile? C?
No, it's war zone.
C? Oh, it is?
It's D. Yeah, it's
okay.
It's you go on the flak jacket after 3 o'clock, you better be out of the area.
That's funny. So do you have, I mean, you've got data that shows transactions in the area, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got one buyer that will buy. He says, I'll buy anywhere. I've got houses all over in those areas. So
nice. And that he's good with a 13 or 13.8 cap, whatever you said it was?
He's good at a 10.
He's good at 10 in war zone. That's a great buyer.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you've got a buyer that'll take 10 cap in a war zone. Cement that relationship with a great deal. Get that person on your side. I've got a guy right now. He runs a real estate fund, and they're not going to run out of money. Of course I want his business. So I'm looking to tee up a sweetheart and call him this week after we get through some inspection on these and try and give him a lay down because I want to cement the relationship, right? I want to kick it off well. So,
yeah.
I mean, most people want 12 to 15 in war zone, and you've got a 10 cap war zone buyer.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
And that's what
he
had told me when I talked to him, and he's got 40 rentals right now.
Okay, nice.
So he's obviously an experienced guy, and he knows what he wants. He says all the people, he's not worried in those areas. Everybody knows his truck, so he has no worries.
I love it. Here's the thing, you got. Here's the thing. If you want to sell to out-of-state buyers who don't know the area, they don't want war. Now, you can trick them into war zone, but they'll never buy from you again, and you'll build this hideous reputation, and that's not why we're in this business. But there are locals who everybody else calls it war zone, and they call it home. And they say, I don't want to buy anywhere else because the returns are so good. I mean, this is my neighborhood. I'll buy anything you throw at me. And so how do you find that buyer? You go right into the list source data, and you skip trace that buyer data within a mile radius of that house. Tell your VA to either give them access to your map or, grab the addresses real quick, however you want to do it, right? Get you out of the picture, but tell your VA, hey, I need every buyer on this map skip traced around this location and start calling those buyers because they not only are they not afraid of it, that's what they're looking for. So it's all about, right? I was just telling Steve, you got to know your buyers. I'm telling you, it's the skill, and maybe it's not even a skill. Maybe it's just a step. It's the step that wholesalers miss, and then they tie up deals, and they just keep letting them go, and they can't figure out, why can I not get a deal to the closing table? Because you don't know your buyers, plain and simple. So, Mike, that's killer.
So that
find 10 more in case this guy doesn't want it. But
yeah,
this is one where I call him up. Hey, man, you told me you buy 10 caps. I want to bring you some business. I'm calling you first. If you don't want this deal, this is going to my entire buyers list tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. So here are the numbers. Here's the deal. I know this is right up your alley. Can you go see it today? Now, it's a little late now, but can you go see it today? Great. What time are you calling me back? And you have to drive this thing to, can you go see it now? What time are you calling me back? And I'll have the title company ready to go for earnest money. I know you're going to want this one. We'll talk here in an hour.
So my sales guy is going to go. The guy is obviously not technologically advanced, and
okay.
The sales guy is going to go over there with the contract in hand tomorrow.
Nice.
Meet him at the property, take a look, have him sign the paperwork. So I should have the paperwork back tomorrow.
Cool.
So that one hopefully it'll finish
out. In the meantime, get that buyer ready. Say, hey, I've got one for you. Here's the zip code, the 21. Here are the numbers. I'm getting paperwork on it today. This sucker's right up your alley. As soon as I have it back, I'm giving you the address. Are you looking to close on one in the next 14 days? So get him teed up.
Okay. The next one is, it's kind of turned into the same kind of a deal. It's in a nicer area. It's in a, probably in a upper C, B neighborhood. The ARV is around 70. Actually, the ARV is around 140. I'm sorry. They own the house and the lot next to it. So we originally contacted this guy. He was in my offers numbers, and my sales guy finally got in touch with him because there's three family members involved in the deal.
Okay.
And they all own equal shares. They're all on title. And none of them lived in the area.
This was a probate deal, I'm assuming?
We got a hold of the owner last week and a half ago. He definitely wanted to talk to us about price. We made him an offer of 50 starting out. Then he gets back in touch with my sales guy and says, well, is that for just the house or is that for the house and the lot? And my sales guy's like, oh, well, I didn't know there was a lot involved. So he said, give me a number for the house and the lot. So we went back to him. I looked up on what the city assessor value is of the lot, and the lot was like $15,000. And since we were kind of a little bit low on our original offer price, I told him, we'll just tell him we'll give him full value for the lot. That put me up to 65.
So can you move the lot? I mean, this sounds like maybe in a place where you can build a $140,000 house. It's still, that's tight. You'd have to have somebody that can throw up a house for pretty cheap, but no basement. You know, can that be done?
The lots are pretty narrow, but there's houses on them already. So that this area, they're fairly skinny houses.
Yeah.
The lot's only 30 feet wide, and it's 100 feet deep. Both lots are same size. So I basically looked at it kind of like the other one. It's kind of one of those things that I'm still in it right on the money, and I can use it to sweeten the deal to the buyer.
Here's the thing. So I'll throw in my 2 cents. If I'm not buying dirt, you're not sweetening the deal to me. You're giving me a problem that I don't want to deal with.
Okay.
So the other thing is, as soon as you were talking to kind of the script there, and you said, and then the buyer said, well, how much for the lot? What you could have said is 50 grand. We don't buy dirt. If you're saying that I have to take it, I'll find a way to deal with it. But we buy properties with a structure already on it. We're not in the dirt game.
It could go either way.
This could just be an issue. Because here's the thing. If you can't dump the house with the lot, you're still going to want to dump the house, and you're stuck with a lot. And if the weeds get too tall, now you have a violation with the city, and you just have dirt.
So what I'm doing with the contracts, though, is I'm putting them two separate deals. So if one goes through, the other one don't, I still have a way to sell the house without the lot. I can always go back to the seller and say, hey, you know what, I got a deal for the lot or a deal for the house. Nobody's interested in the lot. We can either renegotiate. Yep. You can basically give it to the guy, whatever, just to get rid of it. So that's why I'm keeping them separate. I'm not putting them in the same paperwork. So I don't know if that'll help or not, but that's why I didn't tie them together.
It can be an advantage. It can be a hindrance. Just depends on where you're at. And here's the thing. Could somebody move in like a little module, not a mobile home, but one of those prefab, I don't even know what would be allowed, but then you don't, construction's about as cheap as it gets, right? They bring the house in two halves.
Yeah.
Bolt it down to the lot and have a nice little rental. Or, cost of a house and some dirt. I don't know. Maybe.
I guess that's something I'll have to figure out, I guess.
Yeah.
In the learning curve trying to, like you said, you know, if you they want to make you take the deal, then they're going to have to realize that, well, maybe we shouldn't be offering them more for it. No, this is pretty much it. We buy houses, not dirt. And if I'd have thought about that or realized
thing,
that, I would have probably reworked it. I probably wouldn't have been so willing to give them anything for the dirt.
Right. Yeah, because we, we're buying. So on this dirt that I have to take, tax assessed value is probably 3,500 bucks. But we're paying her, we told her we'd give her $500 for it. Now, our thought was, I don't think anybody's buying dirt here, but if we can break even on this, because the house is a great little house, so we want the house. We have to help solve her problem with the dirt. She doesn't want to pay taxes or maintenance on it anymore. But our thought is, man, we can almost give it away, and worst case scenario is we're out 500 to 1,000 bucks, even if we let it go for free, and just take that as a little loss. But, you know, overall on the house, on the transaction, it'll be a win. That's how we're looking at it. But
okay. So on this deal, it's a fix and flip.
Okay.
The ARVs
and
are about 140. It's about 25 in rehab. It's a 3-1, almost 1,100 square foot. Rents are pretty good in the area. They're about 950, but the cap rate's still a little low. It's about 8.4, 8.5. So I went to
the neighborhood profile. Is it solid?
Yeah. It's actually not too bad. I'd say it's a C plus B neighborhood.
Okay.
The area. It seems like the houses around it, and there's some actually newer houses have been built. There's one of them that's two doors up that's got a Zestimate on it of like 180. So this house, if someone really wanted to do something, they could take the lot next to it and make a bigger house and probably bring the ARV up quite a bit. But I just looked at it on the lower side at 140 with 25, getting it to that. If I wanted to throw a bigger number at the fix and flip, 30, add another 10, 15, and make it a luxury, the ARV could compensate for that and probably go up to 160 to pay for that.
What does the neighborhood go up to? What does the neighborhood go to? 180?
They're the closest one to it. There's one in there for 180.
Is it sold or it's listed?
It's just showing Zestimate. I didn't see how far back that was.
Okay.
So
I'd be curious, 'cause here's the thing. Here's what you do.
Yeah.
Call around a couple local builders. And you're going to have to find them. I mean, you can go into Google and build them, but you don't want the big, you don't want Pulte Homes, D.R. Horton. You want to see if you can find fix and flip investors in the area and ask around and say, who does new construction? And then call them up and say, hey, I'm an investor. I've got a little lot under contract. I'm just curious, what can you build new construction for price per square foot? For it doesn't have to be fancy. You know, it's a B minus neighborhood. What can you build? What's your price per foot to build new construction? So I'm running some math here. You said this thing's 1,100 square feet, right?
Yeah.
You have a shot on this lot. If you have a builder that can build for 100, 110 bucks a foot, and I think if you find a really dialed builder, I think they can do it cheaper than that.
Yeah.
But I'm running some math. You know, 1,100 square feet at $100 a foot, and that's $110,000 in construction costs, 15 for the lot, 125, you know, carrying costs, expenses, that kind of thing. But 140 is tight, but 160 may work. And anyway, I'm just saying there. See who you can find.
Okay.
And ask them what they do price per foot. What can you build a new house for price per foot?
Okay. And I have a couple of buyers that are those kind of guys that are actually
perfect
in that arena.
This is where, so we talk about, why do you grow a buyer's list? Because these oddball deals are going to come into play. And when you have, I mean, you can do it now. If your buyer's list is five, say, hey, do you buy dirt? Who do you know that buys dirt? who do you know there that can build a house? And what, you know, what are their price per square foot? Or who do you know that does ground up construction, new construction? I got to talk to them. This is where you tap into the network. And so when your buyers list is 100 people or 500 people, you'll send out an email and a text. Hey, I've got a lot, or with your need. Hey, I need to talk to anybody that that buys dirt and puts a little house on. I've got a little lot in a B-minus neighborhood. You know, could be a flip, could make a great rental. Here's what I have. I need to talk to somebody. And you will tap into that network, and either the buyer will call you or somebody who knows the buyer will reply. And that's why we're always meeting buyers for this exact scenario. You throw it out to your audience, and you find a solution, and you all put your heads together, and that's what's so valuable about it. So, cool.
So this one here with the cost and everything in it at 140 ARV, 25, a 10 again on assignment fee. There's pretty good at the 65%. I don't have all my maths in front of me, but 70 was like a max MAO.
Okay.
And even with this lot next to it, we're right at, going to be right at 65 all in with the lot. So if it goes with the property and the buyer wants it, it's still going to be a pretty strong fix and flip. If he doesn't, and we got to give it to him just to keep it moving, the deal moving, then we can still do that. We still got plenty of room on it.
So you want that buyer, move this thing out, include the lot, and you want that buyer that does fix and flips and can also handle new construction. And just say, man, go build one ground up, keep your crew on the same block, go do the fix and flip on this one. You've got two projects going in the same place. Your drywall is going to go from one to the other. Builders love properties in the same area because they just send the guys to the same part of town. It's so much more efficient.
Carry their ladders across the grass.
And here's the thing. I think that buyer's out there. We've got a FreedomSoft user that's down in New Orleans, and he just does new construction. And I know I can't remember our last conversation, but I'm almost positive he builds for less than 100 a foot, ground up, new construction.
Okay.
So then I think this thing may have this thing may work. I mean, you probably don't make much on it.
Yeah.
But it gets you into the house.
Well, and it again, it's like you give them a sweet deal, and they're gonna come back, keep coming back. So,
I mean, if you can buy,
either way, I feel pretty comfortable.
Are you gonna tie up the house for the full price and the lot for a buck or something like that? Two separate contracts.
On the paperwork right now, it's gonna show 65 on the house and 5 on the lot.
5,000 on the lot.
Yeah, I think so. So. Either way, we can, again, I didn't know how to put it in there, so I just kind of, trying to figure
thinking,
it out.
I was thinking if you put it all on the house and you turn the house for a profit and then you have a lot that you're in for a dollar and you sell it for $1,000, you pay closing costs. You're just gravy, but can you get the numbers to work on the house? So that means your buy price is now 70.
I still can, Yeah, there's still money. There's still good money in it at that.
So is 140 the number, or is 140 not the number?
I think 140 is a safe ARV. I think it could be worth probably between 140 and 150. I think would be probably on the high side pushing it, but I think 140 is a pretty easy sell for them.
So 145, and it needs 25. Yeah, so 145,000 minus 25,000. Is 120 times 65% is 78 grand, and you're in it for 70 with everything on the lot.
Yeah.
That still seems to have legs.
I think so. And if it's better, I still haven't done the contract, so I can do the contract to put it as a dollar for the lot. It really doesn't matter at this point.
A lot, if I'm not really buying dirt, but you've got one for a lot for $500 or whatever the number is, Make your wholesale fee and let that be gravy. Now you can move it at a ridiculous price and try and get rid of it.
That makes more sense.
You're meeting a buyer that says, hey, here's the deal. This is a package deal. This is a fix and flip and new construction. Although, can you handle both and see what happens? But if that lot, it seems like it's going to be a thorn, put it on the house, make your money, and then see if you can move that thing for $100. You pay closing costs or whatever it is and just get rid of it.
Okay.
Because otherwise you're stuck with it. So you've got, it's kind of an interesting little wrinkle here, but.
Yeah. I think it's not too hard to solve. I mean, it's still,
okay.
Not making any more dirt. So, you know, I've
yeah.
sold a lot of
That's exactly
Working true. Mountain properties where people buy things that you couldn't imagine they'd do anything with. So
here's what you may want to do too, is call the city.
Yeah.
And say, hey, I'm looking at buying a lot. Where are the taps at on this thing? Sewer, electric? Where are the hookup fees paid? Because new construction, if those fees are not paid, they can be not a big deal and they can be a huge deal. So what
yeah.
I would do is a little bit of research with the city and tell them, I'm thinking about new construction. Can you tell me, you know, sewer tap, electrical, has anything been put in? Have any of the fees been paid? And if not, can you give me a ballpark estimate on what those are going to be?
Yeah.
Because here's what I'm still telling you. If this thing's ugly, you're going to want to find a way out of the lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. If those have been paid for whatever reason, I'm just saying they probably haven't. It's just sitting in a vacant lot. But it could be favorable and it could not be favorable. And so, you know, get ahead of it so you don't buy a lot. And then the builder says, yeah, these numbers work except for sewer and, you know, sewer's not paid and yada, 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 all these fees to the city. And that kills the deal for me.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I'll do that.
Yeah,
so,
dirt can
yeah,
be an
other,
interesting one.
Okay. Well, other than that, I've been at my other guy in Richmond. He is killing it for sending leads in the bird dog. I mean, he's
nice.
He sent in himself in the last 14 days.
Yeah.
Let me pull it up here real quick. And he's actually been inquiring more and more about what we're doing, and he wants 447 himself.
Nice.
Yep, and they're good leads. I mean, he knows what he's looking for.
That's awesome.
He's got a really good eye for it. He's been doing pictures for some of the banks and stuff for some of their foreclosures, so he's been in and out of these
nice.
Things.
Yeah.
So he understands what we're looking for and knows how to distinguish between just a vacant house and something that we can
yep.
actually use. So
awesome.
he's been doing great. So we're hitting those, skip trace those in that area. It's a completely
yep.
different environment in that other city than it is in Virginia Beach. Completely different environment.
Hey, where is the flip deal in the lot? Virginia Beach?
No, they're in
okay.
Virginia Beach.
And that's where you don't have a bird dog down there, do you?
That's where my sales guy's at.
Right, but you don't have a bird dog.
No.
Correct?
Well,
not
currently.
Okay.
We've pretty much swept
say,
that area pretty hard. I mean, we've hit the top 20 zip codes.
Here's what I want you to do. This is a different
yeah.
task. Here's what I want you to do.
Okay.
Just pay somebody a day rate and just say, I'm going to pay you for 3 hours of your time to drive that neighborhood in and around where you have this lot and the field tied up.
Yeah.
Tell them you want to drive around. It sounds like there's fix and flip activity in this neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Every house they see a roll-off on, or it looks like construction, there are four trucks out front, generators running.
Okay.
Stop, pull over, jump out of the car, walk inside, ask if the owner's on site. Give them a little script and just say, I work with an investor that has a deal in this area. I want to see if the owner's interested in buying it because you're already working here. Owner's probably not
yeah.
there. But somebody will be who knows the owner and say, how do I get in touch with the owner? I mean, name and phone number.
Okay.
And then now you've got active fix and flippers in the neighborhood, and you're going to call them up and say, I've got one 2 blocks away.
Right.
Rock and roll. Keep your crews right where they're at. So if you have fix and flip activity in there, you would normally just have a bird dog do this for you. But if you don't, run it out on Craigslist, maybe in gigs or whatever, that says, I need somebody for 3 hours. You're going to drive around. And I'm going to have you find houses under construction, right? This is as simple as it gets. You're going to walk inside and say, hey, you know, who's the owner? And grab me a name and a number.
Yeah.
And then hit
and
that
I may have right. I may have this already in my system because I've been having my bird dog stop and take
Perfect.
Pictures of the house that had roll-offs or that kind of activity. And I've
yep.
already had those skip traced. So I'm going to just do a search, start off with a search of that zip code, and I've got them moved into a group that I can search, and I'll search that zip code and see what I got.
Yeah, I'll just throw it. We've talked about this before, but it's only come up once or twice. But while your bird dogs are out looking for vacants, if they drive by a roll-off, if you're in a fix-and-flip neighborhood, have them do exactly what I just said. Pull over, walk inside, ask if the owner's on site, get the owner's name and number, and send that back to you. I still pay them for a lead. That's a buyer lead.
Yep.
And so have them probably just text it to you and then just get it in the lead count somehow. But those are, if you're generating leads in a fix and flip area, just have your bird dog do it anyway. Because as soon as you have a deal like you do, that's exactly who you're going to call first.
Okay.
Right?
Yep. So I'm up to 41 offers out so far.
And how many do you have under contract?
I just have the one guy that we've been.
But you're getting paid
really,
tomorrow.
He's been a pain, I tell you. He was supposed to get me a key today. Texted him. And he wouldn't respond back. I did drop him with the last week. I hit him with the, you know what, if you don't want to deal, I mean, that's fine. I can cancel the contract. We can walk away. And sure enough, he gets a hold of me right away. Well, you know, turn him on around. So, but he's still a real sketchy guy. So I'm not going to hold my breath on this one. I'm going to keep the contract tied up just because I don't have anything else going, and it gives me something I can keep pushing out to these guys when I'm talking to them, but I'm not going to hold my breath with him.
Okay. Hey, so, I'm telling you, this is with any deal. It can go either way. People can change their mind or, right, they have a phone call, conversation with somebody. It could go either way, but I'm just saying they could this could go away, or something could also happen. The guy calls up and says, hey, here you go. Here's the key. Here's this. Let's get out of here. But this is the one where we think he's hiding something, right?
Yeah, it's something just seems like he's not. And I did point blank ask him when I talked to him on Friday, there's something you're not disclosing. What's going on here? I'm going to find it. You know, we're all investors here. We're big boys. So I'm going to see something.
Right.
You're trying to hide it from me. And he's like, I told you the house needs new electrical and plumbing and this and that and the other. I said, no, you didn't say any of that. Well, I told you on the first one. I said, no, you never had that conversation. But I built that into my estimate, so I'm not worried about that.
Right.
He did come out and said that there was a lien from the city on it for a condemned lien because it was vacant.
Okay.
And it's a vacant lien. I said, so what's that mean? And he said, they'll lift the lien off once you pull a building permit on it. I said,
okay, so now you know it needs to be permitted.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one, here's the thing. You may not want it, in which case, nothing worse than tying up a house you realize you don't want. So when is your inspection period through? What's that date?
I put it 21 days out.
Okay.
So it's,
okay.
We've,
yeah,
we're
he's not
a
getting
week
back
into
to you
it.
Again. So draw a hard line in the sand and saying, I have keys by tomorrow at 4 o'clock or we're done.
Yeah.
I'm not going to waste time. So
we're
either playing ball or we're not. If we're not, that's fine. Say, hey, we're part as friends.
No
right?
problem.
I mean, just say, I don't need you. I'm washing my hands of this thing. You're just dragging your feet. So draw a hard line in the sand and either.
And
I'll
do it. We'll get him off center one way or the other.
Yep, and tell him I already drew up the contract cancellation clause and signed it. It's ready to, it's just waiting for it just needs my signature and to be sent over.
And where is that if I do need to prepare? Is that in the Freedom Soft or are you just
– No, you would just put one together. Yeah, you would just draw one up. But just let him know that it's – I mean, a couple sentences. Seller failed to comply with inspection item in the contract, and so as of this day, it's being canceled.
Okay.
So
we'll
cross that bridge when we
have
it, but I'm telling him, I'm shooting him a text that says, I've got the cancellation drawn up. All it needs is my signature and to be sent over. We either have access by 4 o'clock today or, we part as friends and we're done.
Okay.
So just say I'm not putting any more time into this. And take it away. I mean, it's one of the greatest sales strategy ever is to just take it away. I mean, it's so effective. And you're when you hire salespeople, they know that. Somebody's hemming and hawing, and they come in and say, you know what, Mike, but this isn't a good fit. It's just not. Let's just tell you what, let's just part as friends. It's been great getting to know you. I've enjoyed our conversations, but, you know, let's just agree to go our separate ways, and I wish you all the best. And just take it off the table. It's just so effective. So.
Yeah, and that's what got him off center on Friday, because I did. I sent him that and said, you know, it's fine. And he did reply, but again, we'll just move on. So other than that, I'm good. Let somebody else jump in there. I think everything's moving along. I got a lot of leads flowing and things are moving. So I just got to keep working it. And
that's right. It'll just
dialing it in.
I'm telling you, 2 weeks ago our team was just frustrated, and then last week happened, and then today happened, and you know now we. It's just about keeping the momentum going, but you just keep pushing on it, right? Persistence wins. We always talk about it.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. Who else? Somebody's got a question on a Monday. I know it.
Hey, Mike. It's Dave here.
What's up, Dave?
How's it going?
Good, man. Where you at?
Great. I'm I got some things out to the Skip Tracer, and I plan on making some calls tomorrow.
Beautiful. How many leads
hopefully?
In?
Only 20.
Okay.
But she's good, and she's got a real job, and then we got a couple more we're going to reach out to tomorrow.
Okay. So, and they're being Skip Tracer right now?
Yeah.
Rock and roll. So I remember last Thursday, if it all came together perfect, you may have made a few phone calls today. You're going to be on the phone tomorrow, which, you know, I gave you a handful of steps. And so to hit it within 24 hours is awesome. So nice job.
Right on. Thanks, man.
Are you going to be dialing or you're bringing somebody on?
I'm going to dial right now and then plan on getting an ad out to get somebody.
Yeah. I want you to post that ad tonight.
All right.
Copy. Well, I gave you the one that I'm using. Switch it up a little bit because I've got a current one running in Denver with that wording on it. Need somebody else. But get that out.
Where do you
there.
Like to put that? Local
sales
to where you are, or
sales.
Local to where you are?
If you're gonna, Denver. Because then, if you need to do training with somebody, you can go meet them for coffee or lunch. That's ideal.
Okay.
It works. You know, like. Mike was just on the phone. His sales guy's down in Virginia. That works too.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a right or wrong. I'll be honest. I've got right now. I have two. I've got one guy local and one guy remote. I think Paul and I. We've been talking. We're probably gonna have a small office in like a call center this year. At some point this year, with the franchise and everything going on, and so we're gonna keep recruiting locally because of that fact. But there isn't a right or wrong answer, to be honest with you. What was I going to tell you? Oh, yeah, get somebody on the phone because you have deals under your belt. And so you see the big picture. And so you're going to be, I mean, you're going to be valuable on the phone, but you can hire that out. Get somebody on the team.
Yeah.
And that way you're staying up at the 10,000 foot view, right? Coaching them through issues. Hey, I came across this. What do I do about this? How do I handle that? And you can stay focused on buyers. I know you have local buyers, so you have got to start getting a message out to them that says, who has an appetite for deals outside of Denver? This market is nuts. It's overpriced. It's gotten increasingly more competitive, frustrating, and I know there's a bunch of money that's just sitting there that can't find a deal. Let's talk and start getting buyers teed up. But you've got to get that ad posted today. Make a handful of calls. See if you can't have somebody on board this week in acquisitions on the phone for you.
Okay. We'll do. I think
let's start getting the leverage going right off the bat. Because if not, here's the thing: you know how to do it, so you'll become the system. That's not what you want.
Right.
So
let's
outsource right from the start.
Yeah, I've done enough of the other.
You'll be so much more effective. I mean, it's night and day. When somebody's just focused on acquisitions and you have a good salesperson, you know, it talks about it in the training center. Give them a disc test. You want them high D. High eyes can also sell as long as their second highest trait is D. But my favorite personality profile is high D followed by almost as high I, and then S and C just drop off.
Right.
That's my favorite because they're just aggressive.
Sure.
So, and you want aggressive on acquisitions. That makes all the difference. You know, if your acquisition sucks, you don't have a deal to sell. I mean, let's just tell her, it doesn't matter how good your leads are. If your acquisitions team sucks, whether that's you or somebody else, you got nothing. So put the right personality in there. Yep.
Sure. And that's I've not run through that training all the way through. Is that typically percentage of the fee, right? How you guys like to structure that?
Yeah, here's what's a little bit challenging about that. And I'll be honest with you, Paul and I, we haven't transitioned yet, but the state of Colorado says that you can have 1099 salespeople, but if they don't make any sale, you at least have to pay a minimum wage for the week. So we are in the process of getting that in place because it's like, I haven't even done the math, $380 a week or something. So now, that said, and this is being recorded, so I should be a little careful here, right? Because I'm on the record. Yeah, we got things launched. We are in the process. That will be in play very shortly. How about I just tell you the way I'm doing it? Because I'm not going to tell you what's right or wrong or how to do it. But yeah, we'll have it in place in the very near future. And our we've had one guy that's been really part, like Chris. He got started, then he had a previous job thing. And he came back. Then his just life stuff. His brother-in-law OD'd and was in the hospital in a coma for a week. I mean, just legitimate life got in the way, killing our momentum. So he hasn't been anywhere near full time.
Right.
So that
So they got to be full time to meet that criteria.
Yeah, get with I'm not an expert on the labor laws, but you can Google it. There are certainly companies out there that can help you with it. But this is just for everybody, that we're in business, understand where you're working. You know, you've got to meet a couple key contacts, right? An accountant. Rob always finds a good real estate attorney in every market. If he's got to run them by something or, you know, he'll say, hey, I need an hour of your time. What does that cost? I'm going to jump on the phone and I've got questions. Tell me, here's what I'm doing. And right, you don't have to know all your questions you're gonna ask. I'm gonna wholesale or I'm gonna sell turnkey rentals or blah blah blah. Here's what I'm gonna be doing. Tell me what I need to be aware of and how and why somebody's gonna sue me and how I avoid it. So and take notes. Right? That's how Rob talks to an attorney. Here's what I wanna do, how am I gonna get sued with this business plan? And then let them think like an attorney and say, here's what I'd do. Here's how I'd come after you. That's what he wants to know. So, you know, just know, right? We've got to know a couple key contacts. Just, you know, we're in business here. So labor regulations are one of them as your team starts growing. So just be aware of it.
And that's the same for bird dogs as much as sales guys.
You know, that's not anywhere near a full-time gig, right?
Okay.
That's a couple hours a week. That conversation, again, I'm not an expert on it, but that conversation has never come up with labor.
Sure.
You're paying for a lead generated. So it hasn't come up there. But again, right, ultimately it's you covering your own butt and your business. So if you want to ask that question, I'm not the expert.
Yeah.
Fair enough. That's a little bit that's not a sales position either. They're not selling anything. They're just driving around grabbing a photo, so it falls under some different stuff. And they're not in your same state. They're in their state, but you know,
good
probably worth
too.
Digging into. Yeah. You've got to go to the experts on that stuff. Legal stuff, labor. That's not us. We're happy to talk about the real estate side and then obviously have that conversation like, hey, here's what you should be thinking. Here's what we're thinking about as we get these things moving.
Sure. Okay. And then, I was going through the Freedom Soft and kind of rearranged a little bit of the front page on the seller leads. template, you know, lead records and the organization there. And was wondering, is there a vacant house lead automated thing that's available as far as the workflow automation, or we just got to build that out?
There isn't. And I'm trying to figure out how we've got, I think I just did screenshots. It's pretty easy. If you want, here's what I did. I copied the one that's there.
Yeah.
So you can click the little duplicate icon. It's got the two pieces of paper. That'll make an exact copy. And then I renamed it Vacant Lead Workflow. And I left most of it the same, but I added in some things on the front end. Like status number one is, or it goes from new to status number one, skip trace complete call seller. So
yeah.
I added that one. I added a status called no good numbers, re-skip trace. I added that one.
Right.
And you really only need to build in a couple of those based on the research, because then it moves right into, you know, made a phone call, left a message, follow-up one, two, three, verbal offer. All those are the same. It really just has to do with the skip tracing. So I'm pretty sure I just added two. I'd have to check, but, yeah, just make a duplicate, rename it Vacant Lead Workflow, and add in your skip trace stuff, and those are the two.
Yeah. I grabbed a little screenshot from your video to get the list.
Oh, cool. Yep.
So, all right, cool. Yeah, I think
it's almost identical.
I think that's.
So I'm looking for at least verbal offers by Thursday, and really what I'm looking for is either verbal offer accepted or contract in place.
Yep.
That's what I want Thursday.
Yep.
Sound
yeah,
good?
Yeah. I'm hoping to have at least 10 offers out.
And I want a couple acquisitions interviews done, and maybe somebody somebody selected or something moving forward by Thursday. Get that ad on Craigslist tonight. You will get replies, and put that start making some follow-ups tomorrow and chatting with people.
Okay.
And I'll be honest with you guys. I don't interview them. I mean, I ask them a little bit about their sales background, right? I want to know about it, but see if they're a fit with your team. Hey, what do you do for fun? How long have you been in Colorado? I mean, just connect with them. Because what's been fun is Chris and Paul and I, he's our lead acquisitions guy, we just get along. Well, that's fun, right? I mean, Chris called me last week when all this stuff was going on, and he's calling me at 7:30 at night saying, hey, Mike, let's talk this through. And I'm happy to take that call, right? I'm at home with the fam, right? You know, it's always a balance. But, you know, there's some synergy there, right? Like we just get along. He gets along with Paul. I get along with Paul. Chris gets along with both of us. And it's fun. So more than, yeah, I want to know what your sales skills are like. I want to know if you and I can work together. Chris and I talk 10 times a day. I want to know if that person and I can work together or if they just drive me nuts, right?
Right.
And that's not a knock. It's just not people's personalities. You don't get along with everybody. I don't, you don't. That's just how it works. So it's not really an interview, right? Just call them up and have a conversation and say, hey, can I, does it seem like this person and I, and, you're not going to be right 100% of the time, but just get to know them a little bit. What makes you tick? What do you do for fun? You know, Chris likes to snowboard, and so then we connect on that and skiing, and he moved out here from Florida, and, cool, what do you like about Colorado? And, you see outdoors and blah, 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 blah. Oh, by the way, tell me about your sales history. What have you been doing? Selling, this, that, and the other. Fantastic. It's rock and roll.
Yeah.
So that's all. Find somebody that fits.
Sure.
Fits the culture. Rob has a really good saying. He says, you can't create culture, you have to hire culture. And I think it's right. I don't know if he made that up or if he heard it somewhere, but I agree with it, right? You can't, just like you can't start dating somebody or marry them and change them, right?
Yeah.
We think we can. It's human nature. But it's the same with people at work. You're not going to say, this person's great, I'm just going to turn them into whatever. No, go go find a person that fits and hire that person. Save a lot of headache. So.
Yeah. Reminds me of hire where you want to be, not where you are.
Yeah. And that, you know, I'm on board with, I think we're going to bring a gal on who doesn't have any phone sales experience. She's got the personality, but she's sharp and she's aggressive. And so kind of that emerging talent kind of thing. I'm okay with that too. But I'll tell you, Chris and my other guy, our other guy, Blaine, they have a lot of sales experience and they've picked it up quick. I mean, these are easy scripts. They're easy conversations. And the, you know, it's taken them a little bit, but they're starting to gel a little bit. So whatever, you'll make the right call. Hire somebody that fits. They'll pick up the rest pretty easy. Yeah.
And that's around that 10% of the deal.
So we're going up to, we'll give up 20% on the acquisition side if the team is killing it. And the way we have it is Chris is running he's running point with the acquisitions team. So right now it's he and one other person. That's going to grow. So Blaine is paid 8 to 12% based on his production for the week. Obviously he can earn his way into 12. And then that leaves to go up to 20, that leaves up to 8% for Chris to help out in the transaction. Because the way we found this works best is, I work really close with Chris. We've got Blaine teeing people up, and he's going deeper into conversations. He's now making offers on the spot. But then he pushes the deals to Chris. Chris runs all the analysis. He's coaching Blaine. Hey, here's where we're at. Let's try and get this one for $5,000 less, this, that, and the other. And then he's really just coming to me for oversight. So it's kind of a – and I want to be out of it. And when we hired Chris, I said, man, here's the way we see this going. We're going to be in multiple markets. We're going to have a team. And he said, that's right up my alley. That's what I've been doing for the last 5 years is building sales teams. And so that's how we're doing it. Rob and Brad, they don't have it that way. They're – salespeople are all on their own, and based on how they did for the week, they are then paid their commission at that level when those deals close. So there really isn't a right or wrong, right? Both ways can work. If you have one person, you know, you can do a, and I'll give you kind of a ballpark is if they tie up less than $17,000 in wholesale fees in the week, they'll be paid 10% on those deals when they close. More than 17,000, 20. I mean, that's a significant hit that number and we'll double your pay. Now we've got a nice little carrot out there for a salesperson. It could be 15 that bumps to 20. You know, I know you're looking for a clear answer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways to do it.
Hopefully sure. No, I get it. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
thank
we're,
you.
We're willing to give up 20% on the acquisition side. I'll also be, I mean, we're full disclosure here. Brad and Rob in Memphis started out that way and they realized that that was too much. And so they backed it off. Now they're paying a base. And then what they have is they have an acquisitions calculator. And if the sales team ties up a mini or they tie it up for the minimum purchase price that the acquisitions calculator spits out, they're not paid a commission. They're paid a commission. If the calculator says you can pay $26,000 for it and they tie it up at 26, zero commission. They're only paid a commission on what they tie up lower than what the acquisitions calculator shows. So again, that's more complicated, but it's just another way to do it. So, you know, I'm throwing a lot at you, and what I'm saying is figure out the right scenario with your team.
Sure.
So we, you know, Paul and I, again, this has to do with where you want to go too. We want to be in, we're in three markets now. We're probably going to four in the next 60 days, and we'll see where this goes, but probably 5 to 10 eventually. And so we want a sales point man like Chris in place for future growth. If you're going to hammer one or two markets, you probably don't need somebody running acquisitions. Just say, here's your goal. tie it up, and I'll pay you a higher percentage. So there's probably not a need for it. But I'm pouring everything I know into Chris so that he can then hire, train, and manage that entire sales team, and I work my way out of it. That's how we're doing it.
Right on.
Long answer, eh?
Couple options in there.
Yeah, there are. That's the bottom line.
That's great.
What else, David?
Yeah, I think I'm good. That's it for now. I'll look forward to Thursday.
Who else? Let's see if anybody else has questions. I try and keep these to 90 minutes, but I also don't want to miss out on anybody. So who else has a question on anything? Any step of the process, any of the conversation that's gone on? All right. I'm going to take your silences. We're good. Maybe somebody else asked a question or whatever the case, but yeah, everybody, let's, a lot of good stuff happening, right? Wherever you're at, especially if you're just getting started, right? Because we have some new people that have come on board lately. You've got to plug into these calls. I'm telling you, things happen, life gets in the way, whatever. From where I sit, there's a direct correlation between office hours attended and positive activity. There just is, and there's no other way to describe it. Obviously, rely on the coaching center for some of the how-tos and scripts and paperwork and that kind of stuff, but the real-world conversation happens right here. So put them in your calendar, Mondays and Thursdays. Everybody, any questions between now and Thursday, get them into the coaching email, obviously, so we can keep you moving forward. Stay on it. I'm telling you, it's all about the big three. Generate leads, make offers, meet buyers, and then when you put some urgency and just the level of tenaciousness and behind your efforts in this stuff, things happen. It's just the way it works. So anyway, good stuff, everybody. We'll have a great couple days. Any questions, obviously, get them into the coaching email, like I said, and we'll chat Thursday.
All right, great. Thanks, Mike.
Sound good? Yep. Take care, everyone.
Bye, Mike.
Talk soon. Yep. See ya.
Thanks, Mike.
Yep. You're welcome. Take care.